You need to just give me a few minutes of your time. We're going to move really quickly. And so we invite you to pay attention and we're going to roll along. We're in a series on the spiritual gifts. And if you didn't get an inventory last week, we have some at the back. They look like this. This is just a man-made test. It's not perfect, but it is a really good indicator of what some of the giftings could be in your life. And as you start to explore the spiritual gifts, what gift has God given you? Please do the inventory and let us know how it turns out, as we would love to know where we could best have you serve in the body, where we could invite you into ministry where it would give you wind and not tire you out, where you could encounter God using you in unusual and abundant ways. So what are spiritual gifts? Well, we learned that God granted abilities enabling every Christian to perform a function in the body of Christ with ease and effectiveness. Notice it says with ease and effectiveness. And lots of you come to this spiritual gifts thing with this in mind. You go, what if God gives me a gift I don't want? What if He asks me to do something I'm not good at? What if I find out my spiritual gift is prophecy? Oh no! But listen, spiritual gifts are given by God to be used in the body with ease and effectiveness. You'll love using your gift. It'll give you wind. It'll make you excited. You'll know that God is enabling you to do what He wants you to do. The Bible tells us God Himself gives them to us. That the Spirit chooses what gift to give, and it's something that only God can do. We know that the design of the church, the body of Christ, the family of God, needs the parts to function. We spent lots of time investigating what Scripture said about the parts of the body not functioning and not valuing all the different parts that God grants the body. We know that we're only effective when we're employed together, and that if the message from the hand, from the head goes to the hand and the hand reaches but the feet go this way, you're still not going to grab what you're looking for. And we know that we can only be effective as we work together. And finally, don't miss this, and no matter how short on time we are, we have to stop here. This is a life and death issue. Because God in His wisdom chose to reveal Himself to a hurting and broken world through His people, through the body, through the church. When we don't function, they don't see it. And people are dying and going to a Christless eternity. This is of absolute importance. Well, there's three messages where we're talking about understanding the gifts. Last week we talked about the support gifts. What are the gifts of the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher? If you wonder what we talked about, you can go online. Our website is gcalliance.org. Is that right, Joe? And there's MP3 files there, and you can download it and listen to it and pick it apart and email me and tell me all I did wrong. Some of you already caught on to that. No, you're welcome to go and to check it out. Today we're going to talk about the service gifts, the gifts of administration, exhortation, faith, giving, helps, mercy, and serving. And next Sunday, you won't want to miss it, we're going to have some fun talking about the sign gifts. The gifts of miracles, healing, tongues, interpretation, and discernment. If you've wondered where in my Bible do I read about all these spiritual gifts, and you know that it's in a few different places, I've listed them there for you. You can grab a pen and write them down. And today we're going to be learning out of Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 7, and 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28. So if you have your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each one of us has a body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion with his faith. If it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. And if it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Well, I want to clear up some critical misconceptions as we come to these service gifts, because people who have them often have a pretty low self-esteem in the spiritual body of Christ. Here's some misconceptions I encounter often with the service gifts. Visible means vital. That if I have a gift where you're up front, or everybody notices me doing it, or I'm in the bulletin lots, or that means I have a vital gift. And that is an absolute fallacy. Every part of the body is important. And as you read those passages, you're going to understand that many of the quiet gifts, many of the support gifts, many of the service gifts that aren't visible are recognized by God and honored by God. That if my gift is public, it means there's some kind of special reward in heaven. Man, you have only to open your Bible to Hebrews 6:10 or to 1 Corinthians 3:6-8 and discover what God has to say about how He views the heart and how He rewards the faithful servant. Another misconception about these service gifts is the what is more important than the how. As long as I do it and I'm obedient, where my heart's at doesn't matter. And I don't want you to miss that Paul started in 1 Corinthians 12, before he got to the gifts, the first six verses, with a bit of a posture talk. Look at what he says here. He says in verses 1 and 2 that embracing God's plan, not yours, is key to this whole thing. Your attitude has to be to do what God asks you to do. In view of God's mercy, what He's done for you, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It speaks of a willingness to lay down self and what I want, the shiny baubles in the ditch I'm attracted to, and the seeking of the true riches of God. Secondly, in verse 3, it talks about humility and working with one another. By the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Your attitude of humility as you come to this is of the importance. Because remember, in God's economy, everything's upside down. The greatest is the least, right? If you don't know how to serve, you don't know how to follow Jesus. And so he's saying, you need to have an attitude of humility. Not, hey, look at my gift, let me show it off. Hey, you guys can't do this without me. But I want to be alongside you. And thirdly, it talks about a position or a posture of embracing the other gifts. In verses 4 to 6, it says, each one has a body with many members, and the members don't all have the same function. So in Christ, we who are many form one body. And each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. Don't miss the importance of this. We need to value one another. We don't need to look like a bunch of clones. God made us different. He gave us different gifts. We've got different interests. And as we explore what these spiritual gifts are, think in your mind, hey, I know now how so-and-so thinks. Or I know how so-and-so... Oh, I get where they're coming from. Oh, I see. They have this gift. And if they just had this added to it, can you imagine how effective our church would be? So let's roll into the service gifts and start understanding them. A little disclaimer. We're moving very, very quickly. I'm going to forget some of the things I really wanted to tell you, and that's okay. But I'm just trying to give you a taste. I'm trying to tickle your imagination. I'm trying to get you interested in doing a spiritual gifts inventory, finding out what your gifts are, and then getting into Scripture. Find somebody in Scripture that had that gift and see what they did and what God used them to do. Read biographies. Investigate. Do the homework. And open your heart to what God would have for you in the body of Christ. The first gift I'm going to talk about is the servant or the helping gift. In the Greek, to serve is to wait on someone at a table or literally support and care for. It carries the image of somebody coming and doing for someone else. The helps in the Greek would talk about the laying hold of or taking up another's weakness, and would refer to someone who actually does sort of a home care role. Consider someone that's bedridden. And they come and they do the things for you that you cannot do for yourself. And so in the serving, helping, gift role, if we pull apart the wording in the Greek, we understand it's an ability to assist and support others in practical ways that cause public ministries to run smoothly and effortlessly. A great example of Paul recognizing that servant gift is found in 2 Timothy 1, verses 16 and 17. And you can go investigate the story some other time. But let me say this about the servants. If you have the gift of service, most of the time what you do, you want to do in the background. I can't count the number of times I've come to the church, here and elsewhere, and I notice something. I get on my car and I walk up and, well, somebody shoveled the walk. Hey, look, somebody was over there and sprayed those dandelions. They're dying. You come in and you sit down and you run downstairs or something. You go, hey, that light wasn't working before. Somebody fixed that light. And then you go and you discover that somebody else went and just stocked the kitchen and somebody came and cleaned up and somebody put something away. And somebody noticed something and was a self-starter and said, you know, that's a little thing, but I could do that for God. Did you know that these pews get oiled regularly? Do you know that somebody goes through this building every week and makes sure that there's offering envelopes and little note paper for you and cleans up your garbage when you leave? Did you know that? Did you think it just happened? We don't pay somebody to do that necessarily. There's people that notice and serve, and they've got this gift. And they don't just do it here, they do it in other people's lives. And I'll go to visit somebody, and they'll say, oh yeah, on Thursdays, so-and-so comes by and takes me for groceries. You would never know. They never tell anybody. They don't do it for extra credit. They do it because they're just trying to the best of their ability to serve Jesus. And they don't begrudge it. They're having fun. They couldn't think of anything they'd rather do. And when they do a little thing here, they come in and there's a great sense of pride and a great sense that I did something. And they sit back and the lights are on or the sound's working or the thing is fixed. And they never, ever, ever want you to know it was them. The gift of service. Let's talk about the gift of exhortation for a while. Does this one sound like fun? Some of you think you have this gift and you misunderstand it. The gift of exhortation. I'll tell you how it is. There's two Greek words that make this up. Para, alongside, and keleo, to call. What it is the ability to challenge to action, communicate truth, and see response. Let me unpack that for you a little bit. When someone has a gift of exhortation, they usually have it coupled with a great understanding of Scripture. And they're able somehow to come into your life and to unpack truth in a way that brings response. Now, we all know great teachers that understand and unpack truth. We listen to them. We read them in a book. And how many of you have listened to somebody and you've gone, wow, that was great. I've never seen that before, but not had a clue what to do with it. You see, there's the difference between the prophet and the exhorting gift. The prophet might be able to come and say, this is the heart of God in a way that you'd never seen it before. The exhorter can come and say, now here's what you do with that, and here's how it looks in action. The story is told of a pastor who was the prophet, the great expositor of the Word of God. He understood the heart of God, read his culture well, and was able to speak truth with great authority. His frustration was every time he gave an altar call, every time he called for a sign up, every time he asked somebody to do something, nothing happened. And he was wailing about it in a staff meeting one day and complaining, and one of his staff members said, excuse me, I have the gift of exhortation. Any chance you'd let me close the service next week? Well, the pastor kind of smiled at the young man, junior man on staff, and he said, wow, what can it hurt? We'll give you a shot. So the pastor got up and preached. And he preached passionately and truthfully from the Word of God. And he called this young man to finish and close the service. And the young man got up and he stood in the pulpit. And in very few words, succinctly and with the power of God, challenged people to respond. And the place was changed forever. The gift of exhortation is a wonderful gift in community and relationship. It's the ability to encourage. It's the ability to come alongside and help people see the spiritual relevance of what's happening. It's offering insightful counsel. And it's also rebuking when sin is going unrecognized and unchallenged. We need to be careful, though. If you have the spiritual gift of exhortation, take and memorize 2 Timothy 4:2, because it challenges us to exhort one another with great patience and with solid instruction. The gift of exhortation with love and concern, calling for action on the truth. Well, let's go to another gift, the gift of giving. I hope you're not sitting there going, whoo, I don't have that one, I'm off. Everybody is responsible to acknowledge God's goodness to them and to be faithful and obedient in what God asks of them. But there are some people that have the gift of giving. The ability to avail material resources to God's work with generous frequency, and they do it cheerfully. Their open-hearted, open-handed giving that's without obligation or compulsion, but with purpose and compassion. And they're joyful. These are the kind of people, when they hear a story like maybe Andrew and Michelle's, God touches their life and they just go, yep, I know what I'm supposed to do. They're the kind of people that just seem to, with great clarity, understand that all of the stuff they have is God's anyways, and they just don't hang on to it, and they freely give it, and they get blessed beyond belief when they're able to be a part of something beyond themselves. They look for ways that God could just use what He's given them to bless others. These people often don't keep score. They don't go, well, if I'm giving here, I'm going to see how that goes. They don't really need you to tell them the results, although it's nice to have the encouragement. They don't grumble about the opportunities and go, well, pastor, how many times are you going to ask for us to give to something? They're like, you got another opportunity? I'm open to whatever God has. You just tell me about it. And they don't want others to know where it came from. Often they're the kind of people that want to slip it under the door and run, because it was enough that they were obedient to God. The gift of giving is a wonderful gift, and I have watched in the family of God, when employed properly, what a blessing this has been. This blesses our world and our community in ways you just don't even know about. And this is probably one of those most visible lights that shine, because when people see you're not attached to things, they wonder what drives you. Here's a word of caution for you, church family. When people have the gift of giving, the rest of the body often sees them incorrectly. And here's the assumption they make: you've got more than we do, and so it's easy for you. Let me tell you something. Lots of people with a gift of giving are simply rivers of God's blessing. And it's not that they have a greater supply behind them. They just have the faith that God is going to continue to pour into their life as they pour it out to others. And the misconception in the church often is that they're very wealthy, or they have more, or it's easier for them. And yet they've discovered the joy of giving. Well, let's move on. The gift of administration leadership. I was going to ask, who had this show up? Have you guys ever been in the situation where nobody's in charge? You've been in those things? My wife laughs at me when that happens, because I just start going back and forth. I vibrate. I just want to jump up and take charge. Right? Don't you hate it when nobody's steering the boat, when nothing's happening? I hate it when nobody's in charge. Let's have a plan. Let's get this thing going. It's a Greek nautical term, and it literally means steering the ship. If you pulled it apart from the two passages we get this from, he who leads is to preside, to occupy a position of authority and responsibility with care. The guy with the gift, or the lady, the person, the people, I'm trying to watch my language because it's on the internet and somebody's going to email me. The person with the gift of administration leadership has the vision to see the goal. The end is in view. They know what the big picture is. They're the one uniquely gifted by God where they see the end game. They see where the whole thing is headed. And they have the skill to direct people step by step towards the goal, to define the steps. They give steady leadership in stormy days towards the destination God is calling us. And the family of God needs these people desperately. Desperately. Now, a word of caution about them. They can come across as controlling, because if nobody appears to be at the helm, they'll grab it. they can come across as a little bit egotistical because they should always stand up and go, I know where we're supposed to go. Let's go. And finally, they are useless without the rest of the service gifts. Because while they know where they need to get going and they're good at planning out the steps, they just really hate the day-to-day stuff. And they just get bored out of their tree and wander off. They're ADD in the whole family of God deal. And while we need them, they can't get it done by themselves. Next, we have showing mercy. Showing mercy. The ability to sense a need and embrace people with a comfort, warmth, and hope that only God provides. How many of you have encountered these people at moments in your life where you're just destroyed? Where you're down and out? I remember walking into a church building one time for a service, and there had just been a whole bunch going on in my life, and I was down and out. And I remember saying to God on the way in, I'm going because I kind of have to, but I'm not expecting anything. I'm done hoping I'll hear from you today. What a rotten attitude, eh? I'll never forget somebody looking me in the eye and smiling and leaving the service early so that I couldn't get past them and hunting me down and putting their arm around me and saying, listen, I know what's going on with you, but God loves you and He cares, and I'm going to pray for you. And you knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that God was still there and He cared. Man, we all need that. And there are people out there with this mercy gift. And they just seem to intuitively know that somebody needs a touch from God, and they're willing to step out and be that touch from God. They're perceptive of others' pain, and they see the pain more than the circumstances. And these are the kind of people that you can come in with your hair 37 colors, tats from top to bottom, wearing ripped clothes, and everything about you can say, leave me alone. And they walk up and they smile at you and go, oh, you wounded soul. And they put their arms around you and love you. Because they don't see the circumstances, they see your pain. And it's a God-enabled gift, the gift of mercy. Paul puts a tag on this gift. He says, if it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. And in the family of God, sometimes we oblige ourselves to show mercy, or we go, and in a sense, we wallow in people's pain with them. Tell me your story. Oh, you poor dear. And we just kind of lower down to their level and hang around. And instead of offering God's joy and God's comfort and God's care with a smile, cheerfully, we do it begrudgingly and with a frown. One of the commentators said this: when you encounter someone with a gift of mercy, they're like a cool cloth to a hot forehead. Don't you love that image? Man, the family needs those people. We get beat up out there, you guys. We need them badly. Finally, the gift of faith. We find that in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 9. If you want to flip over to it, you can. It says, to another, faith by the same Spirit. Some of you might go, what do you mean the gift of faith? Doesn't the Bible say that we all need faith to come to salvation in Christ? Don't we all have to have some faith? We do. You're right. But in the Greek, it suggests that there's an additional or different faith that's a gift of God available only by His Holy Spirit. It's the ability to discern the will of God and to pursue it with confidence. It's an unusual confidence to lay hold of the promises of God with remarkable results. And let me tell you, the family of God desperately needs these people to discover their gift and employ it. I was part of a very young congregation in Drayton Valley. We had largely new believers. We didn't have any real big depth, but we had a lot of excitement. You could ride a Harley down the aisle. Nobody would bat an eye. My wife used to say, you could wear a swimsuit to church, and I'd go, hey, going to the lake. They didn't care. No tradition. But boy, when hard times came, did the boat ever rock? We had no stability. You know, where people who had been through it could say, hey, the faithfulness of God will sustain you. The gift of faith is so important in the body because it's people who know the promises of God and have the ability to walk with a confidence in God that keeps all of the rest of us grounded and moving along. And in the face of absolutely impossible odds, they're the ones that smile and go, God knows about this. Let's pray. And you go, how can you smile? How can you say that? Aren't you freaking out? And they go, no, not at all. One of my favorite stories about the gift of faith was a Bible school, a seminary, and they had the creditors say, by noon on this day, if the bills aren't paid, we're closing you down. And so in the morning, the men gathered to pray. And the one guy was just like, it'll be looked after. Relax, gentlemen. And they're like, it's 10 o'clock in the morning. What do you mean it'll be looked after? There's nothing on the horizon that says this is going to be fixed. And he smiled and he said, I just know that God started this and he promised he'd do it, so chill out. And he prayed simply, God, you own the cattle on 1,000 hills. You have all the resources for us. Would you look after us? The secretary knocked on the door and said, there's someone out here. And he walked out and there's a guy in a big Stetson hat. And he said, I'm a rancher from this place and I shipped cattle to here and they were sold and I was going to invest in this and it's not working out and God just told me to come here and write you a check. And so here's your check. And the guy walked back in the office and the other man said, what happened? And he said, God sold the cattle. The gift of faith. Every body of Christ needs the members with the gift of faith. Keep us anchored, keep us grounded, keep us trusting, because we live in a chaotic world where it doesn't always make sense. Isn't it funny? Hebrews says the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So let's ask the big question.
So what?
So what? That's right. First, the service gifts are where the body becomes visible to our world. We talked about the support gifts last week, and the support gifts are all about training and equipping and envisioning and building up the body of Christ, right? The evangelist. The service gifts are where we start to actually function, and the world sees our love for each other and our commitment to our community and God's values. And this is an exciting thing. And we've got to understand that what we learn and understand and know and begin to figure out, it's got to take action somewhere. And it's usually the service gift people that put the wheels on the road. Secondly, balance is only found in all of the gifts functioning. No one has all the tools, and we as a body of believers are absolutely incapacitated to be what God's calling us to be unless you're willing to discover the spiritual gift and get it to work in the body. We will not function the way God wants us to function if you won't participate. Thirdly, our gifts don't arrive in a box. I've given you a little brief outline. I've talked a little bit about it. But man, there just aren't delineated lines around the gifts. And they kind of merge one into another. And you'll see, someone said to me this morning, I have 5 that all ranked way up here. I said, yeah, that's pretty common. That happens. You're not going to have one. And then once you've discovered the one, that's the deal. And you build a little box around it. I understand it now. God will continually grow you and reveal to you and expand your horizons. And the gifts don't arrive in a little box. This is just a starting place. And they're not just one here and one here, one here. Sometimes 2 or 3 of them are meshing back and forth in your life as God has a place for you to serve and work. And so the so what is really this. If you haven't taken an inventory, take one. Discover your gifts. Get your Bible out. Find out what it's all about. If you can't find where to look, phone me. I'll help you. And together, let's get on the field and get in the game. Because this body needs your gift. In fact, we can't do it without you. So consider yourself invited. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Would you take away everything that's been me and by your Holy Spirit, seal the truth to our hearts. And would commitments and decisions made in the heart this day become action? In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.